Are you thinking about starting your own cash practice? Maybe you've already started your own practice and you're starting to realize that there's a lot to learn when it comes to business. We can be great clinicians, but if we don't understand the business side of having our own practice, we're going to have a hard time being successful in business. Guys, I wrote a book for you and I took everything that I've learned over the last 5 years of running a successful cash practice here in Atlanta, and I put it in this book, and I gave you everything that you need to be able to start and scale that practice past yourself. That book is called Fuck Insurance, and if you don't like the title, the book is not for you. If you do like the title, it's the exact book that you need to be reading right now. I show you exactly how to start. I show you what's important when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales, when it comes to operations, and what stage you're actually at in the business, you know, where you're at, what you need to focus on while you're there, and how to get to the next stage. I'm trying to set it up in a way where you can get some clarity in your business. And the book for now is 100% free. All you have to do is go to finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com and get your free copy of the book that I wrote specifically to help you be successful in business. The book is free. All you got to do is pay for it to get to your door so that I don't lose my shirt on giving everybody all these books and sending them around the world. And again, head to finsurancebook.com. Learn how to run a successful cash practice today. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Dr. Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast, and today we have an interview, special interview, with someone that helps me behind the scenes, and it's my brother-in-law, Brandon. So I've locked him in my basement. Literally, the door's locked. It's me, him, the mic, a whiteboard, and my German Shepherd mix, Teddy. That's it. It's going to be intense. You ready?
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Let's do it. So here's why I want to have Brandon on. Brandon does all of the podcast production work, graphic design for our podcast, any of the video editing that you've seen that we do. He's done all of that for us. And it's not Brandon's full-time occupation. So it's a side hustle for him. And I think for a lot of people, a side hustle is a very, it's a very achievable way of increasing what you make and then being able to take that additional income and put that towards financial goals to help you get in a much better financial position and create a lot of, you know, financial stability and freedom for yourself over a long period of time that I think many people can adopt. And I talk a lot about side hustles from a standpoint of seeing patients. So it could be cash patients, it could be personal training, it could be digital programming for people on the side, whatever. But for a lot of people, they don't want to go all in on their own business, which is understandable. I mean, he has two small kids, so it's probably not the best timing. So I wanted to talk about side hustle, how he got it started, what his looks like, and some of the challenges that come along with that, in particular, going out and putting yourself out there to get your own leads and fulfill on that. So, all right, Brandon, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yep, no problem.
Here's what I want to start with. Tell us about what you do. Like your full-time job, and then tell us about your side hustle and how that got started.
Full-time job, I work for a subcontracting construction company. I work in the estimating side, so we go out, we chase the work. Luckily, that's not my job. I'm given drawings to particular jobs. Some of them are complete drawings, some are 50%, some are 60%, and we gotta take those drawings, take what's given to us, take the specs for the job, and bid it as best we can and put in a big bid package and try to win the job. And I do the estimating side of that.
So is that something that you want to do the rest of your life?
Well, I'd be lying if I said yes. It's a good steady job. More so, I like the people I work with.
Sure.
But it's definitely not something I want to do the rest of my life.
So tell us about your side hustle and what you're doing with that now.
The side hustle? You know, for a couple of years, I was always picking your brain about I wanted to do something just to have, you know, a little extra cash to pay down debt, maybe vacations. I have two kids now. But I never knew what to do. And I guess it started when I took on your podcast, and that's, you know, not something I saw myself doing, but I just kind of learned it and figured it out along the way. And, you know, here we are now, and I have six, so.
Yeah, and I think, for me, it was a transition. We had someone else doing our podcast production, and that sort of fell off. He got busier with some other things that he is currently doing, and it's something I've never produced my own a single podcast episode of my own, whether it was Doc and Jock back, you know, years ago, or the PT Entrepreneur podcast. I don't even know what to do with that stuff, so I was looking for somebody that could handle that, take that over, and Brandon stepped up and was willing to do that. And the other thing too, I think that I talk a lot about this. People want to know, how do they get their foot in the door with things? Like, how do they establish trust with people? And a lot of it is willingness to learn something. And I think that's the one thing that, oh, by and large, is not that difficult to do, but nobody seems to do it. You know, so like, think about how many times have you had to just on your own go on YouTube, go on Google, you know, whatever, get on the phone and talk to somebody about how to actually do something.
Countless times. I mean, I literally, all my old favorite videos on YouTube used to be, you know, comedy podcasts and metal videos. Now they're all videos on how to, you know, do little medial tasks on podcasting, on correcting audio, you know, you name it. So it's pretty funny.
So, but the willingness to kind of like spend the time to figure that out, a lot of people just don't, they won't do it. And I've had people, especially if you're listening to this and you're a business owner, this will apply to you when you're looking for, Brandon technically is a virtual an employee, essentially, like a virtual assistant, if you want to think of it that way, because he's not in-house with us. He's not employed by us. He serves a very specific purpose to fulfill on a service that we don't want to do internally. And when you're looking for somebody that is going to be a virtual assistant, them having the ability to be okay with trying to figure something out on their own might be one of the most important skills. And this is something that even Brett has talked about as well. Like, one of our friends has gone through a handful of virtual assistants, and it's because a lot of them just won't actually try to figure it out. And then what ends up happening is they email you so that you can try to figure it out and then tell them what to do. And all it does is just waste more of your time. Does that sound pretty accurate?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So why do you think that is? Why do you think people just like won't try and figure it out on their own?
I can't speak for other people, but I don't know. Maybe they're not comfortable. You got to, you know, to do something like this, I kind of had to step outside of my comfort zone. You know, if it's you that's asking me to do things that maybe in that moment, I don't know what you're talking about, or it's a website issue, I just say, yeah, I'll figure it out. I'll do it. Rather than tell you, no, I can't do that, but I can do all these other things.
No, is it because you have to see me?
No.
At dinner sometimes?
Nope.
That's nothing to do with that. That's the thing. Like, I know that, you know, you work with a handful of other people at this point, which has been really interesting to watch. Like, I think that's been really, really cool. And I've referred you to a few friends of mine, not because, you know, we have some amount of, you know, we're sort of related. It's because I don't care if you were my actual brother. Like, I wouldn't recommend somebody that wasn't actually helping, that wasn't a valuable person. And I haven't got anything but positive feedback from the people that, you know, we've introduced you to, because you're doing the same thing with them and being able to take some of this off their plate. And in particular, for you to be able to have this side hustle, I'm interested, because I know there's plenty of people here that think about, like, I would love to have a side hustle. But, like, you're at a point now where, you know, you're able to generate. I always tell people, like, if you can make an extra $1,000 a month, it can legitimately change your family's financial position if you do that over an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, for you to get to a point where you're over that in your side hustle, like, how helpful has that been to your family?
you know, mentally, it takes a little pressure off. You know, we kind of we see it as a way, just, you know, that takes care of our car payments or our mortgage. Yeah, and I just want to continue to grow it. You know, at first I wanted to grow super fast, but I realized it's a time constraint. You know, I work full time and I can't be sitting at my office, you know, working on my side hustle shit.
Which is kind of what happened. It's funny that that's happening. At your full-time job, you get a chance to work on your side hustle.
Yeah. You know, my previous company, there's no way I could have done that. But, and yeah, I don't want to have to answer anybody at my office to, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
So I try to do it when, you know, there's some downtime or early in the morning at the office. But, yeah, I mean, I enjoy it. Obviously, I do. I wouldn't be doing it.
What is, like, what's y'all's goal with the additional revenue that you're, you know, the money that you're bringing in with your side hustle? Like, what personal goals are you guys trying to
pay down debt?
Put that towards just debt in general?
Yeah, just get rid of car payments and, you know, goes back to the, is it Ramsey?
Yeah.
The snowball.
Mm-hmm.
And like you told me with you and Ashley, it's becoming a game now. Like, we're,
right.
It's like a challenge, and that's kind of how I see taking on all these other tasks that you've asked me to do. It's a challenge for me to figure that shit out.
Yeah.
I mean, going a little off topic there, but yeah, I mean, we just want to keep paying down debt. It's yeah. fun, believe it or not.
I think it is. I agree with you. When we were doing that too, at first it's sort of frustrating. Well, we did it without me having a side hustle, whenever I was in the Army, but when you have this additional money that you make doing something that you actually enjoy doing to some degree, like that's nice because it doesn't really, it's not arduous and this sort of like doesn't feel slow and difficult to kind of put the work in to do that stuff. Plus it's also interesting, the feeling of somebody paying you for something directly for a service or you provide. You know, I've never really sold physical products, so I don't really know like much about that, but from a service standpoint, there's something very validating or something really satisfying about getting paid for something that you alone are providing, not a company that's then paying you to fulfill on it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that side of it?
I mean, it kind of takes me back to when I was a kid, living in Florida down in Perdido, and every Sunday there was 4 yards side by side and I cut all 4 of them, which took me several hours, but I got paid for that, and it was super easy to do,
yeah.
other than, you know, my time. But
yeah,
yeah, kind of reminds me, takes me back to then.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people start like that: lemonade stand, cutting grass, washing cars. Right?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, I've gotten to the point where I'm starting to tell my friends who have no interest in a side hustle, like, oh, you could charge to do this. Like, if they have a particular skill and
yeah.
you know, fixing something around their house or
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, and when you start realizing that, like, what you have is valuable and people will pay for it, I think it's really different. There's almost, like, this paradigm shift that occurs in terms of how you look at what you do and it's probably the way other people view it, and you don't, because it's very easier to have this sort of imposter syndrome.
Yeah, there's that, and I'm just growing up and seeing, you know, being at a market or seeing some odd job that somebody was doing, I would always question, like, how are they making money? Like, who cares about blowing glass and like through a pipe or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no one's paying money for that.
Nobody's buying that.
But now I realize, like, oh, like, he wouldn't be doing that if he wasn't making money somehow.
Yeah.
So stuff like that just been kind of, you know, eye opening.
And previously, I think it's, you know, it's not a new thing for people to get side hustles to help improve sort of financial positions personally, and especially to pay off debt. And, you know, instead of delivering pizzas or driving Uber, you know, with the internet and the advent of a lot of digital-based services, it's interesting the opportunities that are out there. Even for somebody like a PT student, like somebody that's in school, I talk about this a lot. If you have a background in strength and conditioning, and you can find some people that want to get in better shape, and you can work with them and have like check-ins with them to hold them accountable and provide them with exercises that they're supposed to do and maybe some nutrition guidance or whatever, and you can help them achieve this health and wellness goal, that's valuable. And you can do that while you're still in school. You don't have to like quit school to go and do that. And you have two girls, like you can't just like not go to your, you can't not have your job
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just take a huge financial hit to go 100% in on this side business.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking about changing my disposal the other day. I was like, damn, I just want to start changing everybody's disposals and charge them $100.
Crazy.
That's easy. Because I was thinking, like, who wants – it smelled so bad. I was like, this is why people call plumbers.
Yeah, the worse it smells, the more money you can charge for it.
Yeah, well, I tried to fix it myself. It was leaking through the bottom. So I watched a YouTube video on how to take this, like, foaming sealer and fix the seal that had gone bad. I guess it had gone bad from hot water or just the roads away and leaks through, and I tried to fix it, and that didn't work. So ran to Home Depot, bought a disposal. By the time I watched that or put the sealer on, realized it didn't work, ran to Home Depot, replaced the disposal. Took me like an hour.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, you figured it out.
I wonder how many people are just quick to...
Let me call somebody.
Call a plumber.
I think a lot of people are. But I think it just also just depends on, you know, the way that you look at things. Now, you know, you can learn so much online. Like something like that, obviously. And even if you're wrong, you're going to have to call a plumber anyway. So you might as well take a crack at it yourself.
Yeah, but I just figured, like, okay, here's the part number to the disposal. Hook it up the exact same way it was hooked up before. And I saved myself $100 having to get a plumber out here.
Well, let's talk about imposter syndrome for a second, because I think that I know this is something that I had a hard time with when we started our business, and especially when we moved over and started helping people with their businesses. I had a real struggle with this. I was like, man, you know, I'm not Jeff Bezos. Why would anybody listen to me? You know, I didn't start like a multi-billion-dollar company or something. And it's interesting. I think the way we view ourselves and the way other people view what we know, we don't know what we know, mm-hmm. and how valuable that might be. How's that transition been for you? And obviously, it's probably something you're still working on.
I've never really had that, I guess. Once I got into it and like figured stuff out, I was like, oh, that task is simple. So it just...
See, I'm going to challenge you. I think you do have that problem, because like even talking to you the other day, and I said, hey, you start a podcast on podcasting, and you're like, well, I don't know enough about that. You know a lot more than most people do.
I guess, but then like it gets overwhelming to think of like filling all that content.
Yeah.
Like that's where I guess
are you gonna talk about?
Yeah. It's like more like the business side of like trying to grow a side hustle. I probably have imposter syndrome there.
Yeah.
But as far as like doing this stuff, I don't.
Well, let's talk about
confident.
That for a second. So right now, you know, you got 6 podcasts that you're producing, managing, whatever you want to call it.
I would call it a podcast manager.
A podcast manager.
Yeah. Producer is more of like...
I think like rap video.
No, well...
I do. I think I'm like
a podcast producer is someone that is like...
You're like Suge Knight.
No, they're full time for a company that is willing to pay somebody full time to do, you know, all the...
Yeah.
Research and all that stuff.
Yeah, you don't do any research.
Research on guests and...
Yeah.
Scheduling all that, that's a legit podcast.
Yeah, that would actually be, that'd be awesome.
And like implementing, you know, following who they're interviewing based on what you're doing as a business and lining all that up. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a legit podcast producer. Podcast manager.
Manager. Okay. Well, with that, so right now you got 6, you know, what's the tipping point for you? How many, podcasts do you feel like you could manage before it's going to start to become challenging with your full-time occupation?
Time will tell with that. It's, I could, I don't know, maybe 15, 20.
Yeah.
But I'm sure after a certain period of time, I'd be comfortable to say 30.
Yeah.
And then I would probably... be able to do it full time. But
if you had no other job, how many do you think you could effectively manage? How many would you want to actually manage?
That's a good question. You got to throw in the factor of being able to hire people to handle
with no other, like,
oh, just by help. Myself.
Yeah.
Without my full time job, I don't know, 50.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing that number out there, but it seems doable. There's things I want to get better at before I get to that, but
Well, what do you think? So let's talk about podcasting for a second, because obviously you do a lot with this. I think, you know, and one of the people that you manage podcasts for is Brett Bartholomew, who's a mutual friend as well. And Brett and I have had this conversation about, you know, if we could, if we only had one content avenue and we could only pick one, what would we pick? And we both said podcasting. We think podcasting is the most effective way to get our message across. We get the most feedback from that. And even including Instagram, like Brett's very active on Instagram. And he's like, I'd give up my Instagram account in a heartbeat to keep my podcast. And it's because if you think about it, like the average time somebody might look at an Instagram post is a drop in the bucket compared to somebody listening to a podcast and the percentage of people that actually finish those podcasts. I mean, I know for me, I feel like the podcast that I listen to on a regular basis, many people I've never met, I don't know the hosts, but I feel like there's some inherent amount of trust and I feel like I know them fairly well because I listen to it so much and understand like the way they think about things. And so I think it's a really interesting avenue. And you have some local podcasts too that you're working with, not just like myself and Brett that have these bigger sort of broad reach ones. Where do you feel like podcasting is going in the next few years? And the people that do have these local service businesses, do you think it's worth them looking into doing?
Yeah, totally. You know, I say that, but I think I just have a feeling there's probably tons of people out there that shouldn't be starting a podcast, and maybe they're not fully committed to it or whatnot. It just kind of fizzles out. But
why do you think it fizzles out? Because I see this. I see like this
any other
all the time. It happens all the time.
People, you know, get too busy.
Yeah.
In their mind, they're too busy, and they don't realize the positive effect it could have on their business or whatever it is.
I feel like from what I've seen, and I'd like to hear what you think on this too, it's about a 6-month commitment before you start to gain traction. And if you can commit to a year, that's where you start to really see a massive return on investment from podcasting.
Yeah. I'm going to call you out.
Yeah.
On the Active Atlanta podcast.
Yeah.
What was it, 2 episodes in, you asked me how many listeners you had?
I did.
And I told you, and you were like, what the hell?
Yeah, I wasn't happy.
And I just wanted to say, do you know how this works? Like, you've done like 600 podcast episodes.
That's so true. Yeah, the local one we have, though, what I like about it, this is what I like about them so much, is even with without a massive listenership base, like, for instance, like the... This podcast will get somewhere between 15 and 25,000 downloads a month, somewhere in that range, which is a lot. It is a lot, but in comparison to like a local podcast, you may only get like let's say a couple hundred might be a really good number to shoot for. But you have to think about this is very broad. People can be listening to this around the world. They're listening because there's like business ideas. Maybe they don't even have like specific niche that we could help them with directly, but they're maybe getting some indirect advice for any kind of business. If you have a local podcast, like you're talking to a very specific person that lives in a certain radius of where you live. And if you had like 100 people listen to an hour long podcast of you talking about a certain topic, that's a very, very interested potential customer that is forming a relationship with you.
Yep.
So tell me about this then. So with people that are dropping off, how much of that is like, for me, there's no way I would have kept up with this. And I haven't missed, I've had 2 podcasts a week for, I don't even know when we started. It's probably going on 3 years now, maybe
for
4.
PT entrepreneur.
If I was to include Doc and Jock, 2 podcasts, I've never missed a week. At least I've never missed a week in the last probably 4 years, but I wouldn't have been able to do that if it wasn't for all I do. This is my framework. I frame out what I want to talk about or who am I going to talk to. I have a schedule of what I want to do. I do it. I upload that audio to a Google Drive and then that's basically it.
I put the secret sauce on it.
And then the rest of it, I don't know how the sausage is made. I don't know, but I tell you this much. If I had to spend the additional time, like just think about how sporadic I am on Instagram. I do that shit myself, and I'm just like, I don't even care. I don't want to do it. Like I have all these other things I want to focus on.
I mean, if I put myself in your shoes or any other person's shoes that I'm trying to, you know, take this off their hands. It doesn't take a lot of time, but I could see it, you know, being...
No, it doesn't take you a lot of time. Right. Okay, so like this is the difference. When if someone's trying to figure out a new skill, it's three times longer for somebody to do that than somebody that has a workflow, understands what to do, what the common problems are, and then can knock it out and make sure it's done right. And this is where, for me, early on, and I think this is a huge mistake, if you're newer into business and you're looking for ways to save, in cost, I get it. Yeah, but in some cases, you have to look at what's the time cost where you could be doing something else. Like for me, my decisions are based off of like what, at a minimum, what could I be doing if I was seeing a patient? So if I'm seeing a patient, it's going to be like roughly $200 for that visit, right? So if I can pay somebody else less than that for something that's going to take me more than an hour, then I'm going to heavily look at doing that. So for somebody like you, where let's say it's like $400 a month for somebody to have their podcast managed, if that's going to save me 2 hours, I can see two patients in that same time, and I'm doing something that's going to leverage my time to generate more people in the door for me, why would I not do that? Because it's going to slow you down. And then the worst thing that happens is you waste your time, you don't focus on the things you can generate more money with, and then you're less consistent and you drop off with something that could literally change your business.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've noticed like the few times when there's been issues with the website or...
Yeah,
I can sense the frustration through your text to me, just that you're having to waste, whether it's your free time or you're having to do something else.
No, I'm just impatient.
I mean, I get it. You want to be hands off with it, and I can see it. I can be frustrating. And it's usually stuff that's kind of out of our control that we figure out. But
well, early on, in this case, which you're familiar with a lot of cash practice owners, most of the people that you're working with are sort of in that realm, or they have digital businesses and things like that. But for most people, I think that it's easy to look at, you know, spending your time on these things and not necessarily look at leveraging your time. So leverage is where speed comes from. So if you can leverage your time, so for instance, for our other business, for PT Biz, I don't do anything. I don't know how to, I don't know what we do for Facebook, Google ads. I don't know any of that stuff. I don't know how the website's put together. I don't know how all this stuff is built out on the back end. I don't do anything with a lot of the fulfillment side, aside from some of the one-on-one things that we're doing. I'm basically like a cow that they're milking. So like I'm the cow, they milk me. Now, once they get the milk, then they take that milk, they turn it into butter, or they process it, they turn it into like a gallon of milk, and then somebody takes it to the store, and they sell it at the store, and then the consumer buys it, and that's it. But the milk, the cow, is me. It comes from that, because like if you look at the content, if you look at the intellectual sort of property of what we have, that's all that business really is. So the more I can focus on producing as much milk as humanly possible, the more things they can sell at the store. That's a weird reference, a strange kind of way to put it, but that's the way it should be in your business. And if you're let's say you're a local cash practice owner, your milk comes from patient volume and doing tasks that drive patient volume in and you fulfilling on patient volume when it's just you. So something like a podcast for us is a natural fit because it helps establish trust, puts you in the space as a thought leader in your area. And inherently, it puts you in a different position than many other people. Even if you have one listener, you still have a podcast. Yeah. Like you do.
Mm-hmm. If they're consistently
coming. What about some of the newer podcasts that you've helped start up, especially from a local standpoint? Like, what's that process been like? How has it been for them getting used to the tempo of it?
So far, it's been pretty easy because they're, you know, they see the benefit of doing it. It wasn't me having to really oversell that to them.
Yeah.
It made that process easy. But I think a big thing is the relationship building they're doing in their city by asking people to come on. And I think that goes a long way for them.
What else? So like that, so you talk to somebody and you say, hey, I'd like to interview you on my podcast. I'd love to share what you're doing. Very few people are going to say no to that.
Right.
They're probably gonna be like, yeah, it sounds awesome. You're going to put me in front of all of your people that follow you, even though it's just your mom listening to it right now. They don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
but as people will start to listen more and more, and if you want to hear like the change, the it's just like anything else. Like it's like clinical skills. You come out of school and you suck. And then after like a year or two, you're like way better. And if you want to hear some terrible podcasts, go back and listen to like the first 20 Doc and Jock podcasts that Joe and I did. It is embarrassing.
Why?
It's so bad. In fact, the first one that we ever did, we never even released it. Ashley and Eliza made us delete it because we went and we did like a weightlifting session at CrossFit RX. We got a dozen donuts from Revolution Donuts and we ate a dozen donuts together with like a 12 pack of beer. And then we decided we wanted to start a podcast. So we started a podcast and it was just like the worst. It was the worst. Just two bros like drunk and full of sugar. Just talking about, I don't even know what.
We're going to take over the world.
Yeah, we're going to change the world with this podcast. And that's how it started. But then we thought to ourselves, yeah, we should do this. Like, we talk about this stuff anyway, the strength and conditioning and kind of movement side of things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, I think it's been huge. It's just a matter of, I think it's a huge hurdle for people, in particular them thinking that they don't have enough knowledge to be on it. Have you had to deal with any of that? Like, with the people you're working with?
Nobody that I'm working with, but people I talk to, you can just sense the hesitation.
Yeah.
And I get it. They're, you know, I don't know where they are at a revenue standpoint in their business, so they put it on the back burner. But I don't know. But
who's somebody that doesn't have a podcast yet, mm-hmm. that you're aware of that you think would hit an absolute home run with it?
Anybody?
Anybody that you know of. It doesn't have to necessarily be in our space, but you're like, man, if this person had a podcast, it'd kill it.
Give me a second. Might have to edit this chunk out.
Well, you're going to have to edit it out.
Let me think. Who?
I'm thinking of somebody that we both know. Yeah.
Are they in the family?
No.
But we know them.
You do a little work for them.
Toko?
Yeah. I think he would crush it. He's my... So, I look at, like, there's certain...
Does Toko listen to this?
Industries. I hope so. Toko, I'm talking... Toko Wynn of Institute of Athlete Regeneration is an absolute ninja in our profession. And he has so much just knowledge that if he started sharing that in a podcast, it would crush it because it's so apparent in my opinion. This is why Brett's podcast does so well. It is so apparent when you listen to Brett, especially when he talks to somebody else, how much depth of knowledge he has and experience in the area. It's like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. It's so obvious.
Yeah, how do you think that makes me feel?
When
you tell me, yeah, you should start a podcast, but all this content. Like,
yeah, but Brett should have started a podcast 5 years ago. He could have done the same thing, you know?
I know, but it's like, oh my God. Like,
but yeah, somebody like that has, you know, that has a business that does a lot of continued ed, that's already a thought leader in our space,
right,
that then slaps on a continual reinforcement of how, you know, good they are at educating and what their ideas are and their philosophy, that's really helping people. And that's the thing, like, dude, I listen to so many podcasts. I've never done there's so many podcasts I listen to that I've gotten value from, and I've never ever bought a course or, you know, worked with any of the people that do it. It's not about that. It's just, but I might reference those same people and say like, oh, I listen to this guy's podcast. He has a course on this. You should totally go get it. Mm-hmm. Although I never have.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much trust it builds. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's somebody I think would kill it. Like, if you have sort of a unique skill set, like you work with somebody that does like a lot of women's health stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very unique niche,
mm-hmm.
in an area. And for them to be able to highlight that and other people that they work with is a perfect combination, in my opinion, of who would be good with the podcast. Now, some people would be terrible at podcasts. Like, people that are very introverted and they're scared to talk to anybody, that's tough.
You're looking at them.
That's why you do this stuff on the back. That's why I had to talk to you. I tried to get this podcast with me yesterday, and you turned me down. I got a couple tacos in you. I got a couple breakfast tacos in you, and then you agreed to it.
Well, I did tell you I would do it today.
You did? I don't
know. Here we are.
Yeah.
December
31st.
31st.
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, this is a good conversation to have. I think there's a lot of people that are looking at the podcast space as something that, you know, I think there's two things. Number one, they might look at it and think, yeah, this would be a good idea for me to do. But then they think, oh, it adds one more thing to my plate. Like, right. It's one more thing I have to figure out. It's one more thing I have to commit to. What do you have to say to people like that?
Get out of your comfort or out of your comfort zone and just do it. I mean, it's really not a It's not time consuming at all, I don't think.
What, to do the podcast?
Yeah. Maybe on the front end, but like for you, you've done so many.
Yeah.
I remember when you started a podcast, I was like, I wasn't as involved as I am now.
Yeah.
Like, as far as my knowledge of your business, your practice, and I just, you know, didn't think twice about it. I was like, I didn't think it was stupid, but it just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Like, I listen to Joe Rogan, that's a podcast, but
I totally agree.
It's completely flipped in my mind. Like, oh, like, I get it now. And plus, I know how to help you, both of your businesses. So,
well, it's interesting, the reach too. I think we don't see it. It's a one way channel. It's not like people can respond to us right now, and they can say, oh, let me jump in this conversation. Right? It doesn't work that way.
We're not live.
No. So when you put that up, you just are like, oh, okay, here you go. It kind of goes into space, and you it's almost this abstract thing, and you think, yeah, I'm going to put this up there. But then you look at these downloads, and you're like, holy shit, there's people in...
Actively listening.
Dude, I think there's people in like 80-something countries that have listened to the Peachy Entrepreneur podcast. More than that, we had 100 podcasts, countries with the Doc and Jock podcast where people were listening to us. And at the most listenership base we had was like 60,000 downloads a month. I got recognized at the airport twice by people that listened to the Doc and Jock podcast.
That's weird.
That's weird. You know how weird that is? You're standing there on a bus going to a rental car place and somebody's like, hey, are you Danny from the Doc and Jock podcast? And I'm like, the hell? This is weird. What's going on? But it's because people actually listen to it. You know, and it's just an interesting forum to get your ideas out there.
Yeah. The internet is super powerful.
The internet's powerful. I think podcasting is a really... I think over the next 5 years... And you're starting to see this already with big players like Google. In particular, Google, they're starting to change how they index podcasts. Previously, it's really hard to get found on Google for podcasts because they're searching for like words and images primarily. But they're starting to change the way that they do that to make podcasting more searchable. Mm-hmm. And even looking at their own platforms like iTunes has. So, you know, it's going that direction. People notice that. You know, it's just a content form I think is going to get more and more powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it might get to a point where it's watered down, but the cream rises to the top.
People say that, but, like, true, but most people quit. That's the thing. Like, they have all these stats on how many hundreds of thousands of podcasts are out there, but most of those have less than 15 episodes.
How many of them are some kid starting it in his basement
or some
about
guy.
Video games, and he quits? Yeah. And, I mean, there's probably... tons of that.
Some guy and his brother-in-law talking about stuff in a basement. There's probably a bunch of those.
Yeah.
Which
at least you're...
This one's going live. This one's going up. Now, so, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot one more time. So here's the thing. I think that this medium is... It's crushed it for us. It's done really well. It's doing well locally. It's doing well with our business podcast. You know, if it's a form that is something that in 2020 you think would be a good fit for you, I think you should totally go for it. You know, we're starting to see a lot of success with local podcasts with this. Even my business partner, Eve Gigi, he's been doing a local podcast for over a year, and it's one of their bigger referral sources for new patients coming into his practice. Not just from listening to the podcast, but from people that he interviews that then turn into referral partners. So I think it's a sneaky, effective way from a local marketing standpoint to really build trust and become a thought leader in your area. If it's something that you want to do, I'm telling you, get some help on it. Brandon, I'm going to let him give you his email. He doesn't want to do this, but he's got, 10 more people he might be able to take on before he's got to commit to leaving his job. So if people want to ask you questions about podcasts and they're interested in getting a podcast started, where can they reach out to you?
Email, BrandonIrwin20. That's Irwin with an E, 20, @gmail.com.
What's your Instagram handle? Because I know you're real active on that.
At BrandonIrwin20. 20.
What's the 20? What's up with that?
Jeez.
I know what it is.
What is it?
That was your number when you played football? Wait, you weren't 20 at Purdue, were you? You were 16, right?
I was 16. My freshman year, there was two 16s. Mm. So, and we were both freshmen. Then that second year, I was playing, and there was a chance that the other 16 from freshman year would be playing, because he didn't play freshman year. So they came to me and said, Brandon, you need to change your number. I said, 20.
Give me that 20.
So they went on my Instagram.
There you go. That's funny. That's what it always is. Yeah, it's always
I'm super
number.
Active on Instagram. Usually just family stuff. Nothing.
Yeah.
With business.
So if you have a question, that's probably the easiest place to reach out. Shoot him a message if it's about podcasting. You know, and I think when you look at 2020, I think you know, ask yourself, it's the beginning of the year. You know, what do you want to accomplish? And one thing that you can probably commit to is, you know, committing to producing one podcast a week. I'm telling you, if you do one podcast a week, whether it's interviewing somebody, topic-based, whatever, and you consistently put that out over the course of a year, and you can commit to that, it will very much be worth your time in whatever business that you decide to do. I just think there's no way you can go wrong with that. And where the people drop off is, it sounds like a great idea. Yeah, I'll commit to doing a podcast for a year, 52 episodes. And then they get caught in the, you know, just the actual doing of it, the work of it. And then they lose sight of the other things they have to do. It's not the priority for them at that point. And then it fizzles out and they miss out on an opportunity that could have changed their business for the long term.
That's their loss.
That's it. And what I'm telling you is don't do that. Like, get help, do it the right way. Do the thing that you can do that nobody else can do. Be the cow, like me.
Or the cat. You can milk a cat.
Oh, he can milk anything with nipples, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say. So, yeah, be the cat, be the cow, whatever. But do the thing that nobody else can do and let somebody else do the other stuff, because that's the most efficient way to do it, and you can focus on really building the side of your business that you can control. So, guys, thank you so much for listening. This is the first one of the year, right? 2020?
Yeah. What's Tuesday?
No, it won't be. It'll be the second one. Because the Thursday one.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday will come out. So, second one of the year. I hope this inspires you to start a podcast, you know, like I have done, and so many of our friends are doing as well. It's better to be early than to wish you'd done it in a few years whenever a lot more people are doing it. So, as always, guys, thanks so much for listening. Brandon, thanks for your time jumping on the podcast. Catch you next time. You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.